Wow, my heart's right here in my throat. Gentlemen, thank you so much, so very much. You know, I was telling Mike that when I went to college at PUC, I sang in a men's chorus for many years and sung in quartets over the years. And wow, it was a long time ago. I didn't realize how long it was, but the music was just what a blessing this morning. Thank you so much. And for coming and sharing that with us. The gospel is the power of Christianity.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
People say, well, we have power in this, we have power in that, we have power in organization, we have power in all these things. But the bottom line is, folks, for us as Christians, it is the gospel. Because the gospel tells us about Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that opens the door for possibility, for hope, for spending eternity with God. Without the gospel, we would have nothing. We would just have organization. We would just have little clubs. We would have warm little groups that get together once a week. But it's the gospel, folks. It's the gospel in the air, and it's the gospel on the ground. I want to talk about those two dimensions of the gospel. Now, I've asked many times before, and I will repeat it again. The gospel is life eternal through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that you and I could have hope of eternal life. But it didn't end there. He came forth from the tomb victorious over death and over sin. And now He is in heaven as our coming Lord. You know, Jesus is everybody's Savior. Whether you accept Him or not, He's your Savior. Okay? Like it or not. That's God's grace. That's His offer to you and to me and to a dying world. But it's up to you to make Jesus your Lord. See? And when He reaches down into your heart, when He reaches down into your life and changes you from the inside out, He becomes your Lord. And as you follow Him and make Him your Lord and your Savior, suddenly you realize that the gospel is the power, both in the air and on the ground. You say, well, Pastor, you keep saying that. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me give you an example. I grew up in an evangelist home. I'm a fourth generation Adventist minister, but my father was a missionary in Korea. And I remember my mind went back as I listened to the men's group singing some of the songs that my father used to sing. He would get together a group of men, actually a quartet. He formed a quartet, and they bought an old army jeep. And they painted it blue. And then they had a trailer and they hauled all their equipment, their tent, their little pump organ, their little PA system that ran on a 12-volt battery. And they traveled all over Korea from town to town, from village to village. And they had this, I remember very clearly, I was just a little guy, but I remember this sort of a speaker. It looked like a cone like this. You remember those old speakers? They've gotten fancy now, but they had just a basic speaker. And they would put it on the top of the jeep, and they would drive through the town, and they would sing, "Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring, Jesus is coming again." And the people would gather, and they would follow that jeep down those bumpy dirt trails to a little lot outside of town, a little dry lot where they had pitched a tent. And then my father would get up with that quartet and they would sing other gospel songs, sharing the good news of salvation through the air, through the voice. And then he would open the Word of God and he would preach a powerful message that Jesus loves you. They would sing songs like, "Jesus loves you, this I know, because the Bible tells me so." Simple gospel songs, and yet so powerful because they reach right down to the very core of our dying lives, and they give us hope and they give us life eternal through Jesus Christ. That wasn't all. The gospel was spread through the word of, through songs and through the word of mouth, but it was also spread on the ground as they went from home to home and village to village and brought healing to people's lives, both physical and emotional healing. The war was a terrible thing. Many lives were destroyed. Many families lost family members. Many people were wounded and injured, and they needed healing. They needed healing for their bodies. They needed healing for their souls. And as the gospel was shared with those individuals in their homes, as they reached out and helped them with medications and other physical needs that they had, food and clothing, people began to realize that the dimensions of the gospel covered both their spiritual and their physical needs. The Apostle Paul also understood that dynamic and that dimension of the gospel. In Colossians 1:6, he says, the gospel that has come among us, the gospel has come among us, that us, that coming has been Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the plan of salvation. He is the plan of salvation. And he came and he died for us. Paul says the gospel has come among us and is bearing fruit everywhere. Amen? Everywhere we go in life, God can use us as individuals to bear fruit. He can use our voices, whether you're in a singing group, or whether you're reading God's word, or whether you're sharing your testimony. It's the gospel in the air. It fills the earth. It comes over the radio waves. It's on the television sets. It comes from your own lives as you live out your lives here on this earth, and you have the opportunity to give your testimony. Each of us has a testimony of what Jesus has done in our lives. You see, the missional power to reclaim God's creation does not come from our good intentions. It comes from sharing the good news of what salvation has done in our lives. Restoration and renewal comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. It comes to us. It comes to us as individuals. It comes to us as families. It comes to us as church families. It is the mission that Jesus gave his disciples as he left on that hillside so long ago. He promised them that he would send the Holy Spirit. He would send the Holy Spirit to lead them and to guide them. But he also said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world. That is the mission each of us has been given. You see, each of us interacts in the world around us through our jobs, through our club, through going to a club with friends, getting acquainted with your neighbor, people at work. They're all looking for something, and you have that something. That something is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, in our lives, we can bring healing to others. We can feed the hungry. We can provide childcare. We can provide seminars on healthy living. We can provide just a helping hand or a hug to a neighbor or a friend. Sharing the gospel on the ground is the edge. It is the edge of the sword of the gospel and its mission. You see? God could have chosen angels to spread the gospel. And it might have happened a lot faster. After all, they have wings. But God chose us, you and me. Just common human beings. Just people struggling in life, trying to make it through life, hoping that the next day they'll have food, hoping that the next day they'll have a job, they'll have a place to stay. Just common, ordinary people. God chose us to be the ones who carry the gospel both in the air and on the ground. You look at the passage of scripture this morning quickly in Acts, the 19th chapter. You know, Paul just said, was on a, as I mentioned last week, was on a whirlwind tour. He was going from town to town and city to city, and he was sharing the good news. And everywhere he went, people listened, people followed. He got to Athens and he got into a great discussion about the unknown God. And he told them, he shared with them who that God was. He gave his personal testimony of what God had done in his life. He told them who Jesus was. He shared the gospel to them. And then here in the 19th chapter, it says in verse 8, it says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months. I'm amazed he was able to stay there that long. Arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate and they refused to believe and publicly maligned the way, so Paul left them. And he took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And they went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Do you see what's happening here? The power that accompanies the gospel, the power of the word, the power that comes with the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading. And it became so powerful that everywhere he went, there were people that were converted, people that gave their lives to Jesus. But the gospel in the air is one element, one aspect of our mission. The other one is that there's a gospel on the ground, and here it is. It says right here, it says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. And there's a list periodically throughout the writings of Paul. You'll find different events that took place, healings that took place, all these miraculous powers that took place that accompanied the preaching of the gospel. You see, it's not enough for us to just feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, but we must also give people the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. And so they go hand in hand, together. The proclamation of the kingdom of heaven, the proclamation of salvation through Jesus Christ goes through the air as it circles the globe through various means and ways. And then along with that comes the healing, the touch, the hug, the clothes, the food, they go hand in hand. Jesus, in his ministry, set that as an example. Everywhere Jesus went, he proclaimed the kingdom, but he also healed those who needed healing. And so as we minister to those around us, as we minister to our neighbors, our friends, our acquaintances, people we work with, people in the community, as we walk amongst those individuals, let's not forget that we have a commission, and that commission is from Jesus himself to share the good news of the gospel. And I know it's hard because sometimes people reject that message. People maybe aren't comfortable with that message. But you see, that's really not up to us to decide that. We are simply called to share our testimony and let the Holy Spirit deal with the rejection or the acceptance. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We're not there to twist arms. We're not there to bang people on the head. We're there to simply to plant the seed and let the Holy Spirit water it. You know, many times throughout my life in different experiences, whether it was, you know, in high school and college talking with my motorcycle friends, whether it was, witnessing in Haight-Ashbury back in the 70s, campus ministry in Berkeley and UC Davis. I know that many times I felt the rejection, I felt the snobbery, I felt the people saying, you don't want to hear that Jesus stuff, you know. And I've often wondered, okay, so I planted the seed, Lord, now what happened after that? Well, you know what? That's not something I should really worry about because it's up to the Holy Spirit. And someday, some great and glorious day, when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven and he takes us home, I believe that there will be people. There will be people there who will say, I remember you. I heard your singing group And I was impressed. Even though I didn't act like it, I was impressed. And later I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Or I remember you and I used to sit next to each other in the office. You know, you shared your testimony, but I rejected it. I acted like I wasn't interested. But you know what? The Holy Spirit worked in my heart and I accepted Jesus. We may not find out on this earth the results of sharing the good news of salvation, but there is a glorious and grand and glorious day coming when our eyes shall see Him face to face. And we shall have the most wondrous, glorious opportunity to lift our voices united in praise and worship to God. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus comes to take us home. And friend, if you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, don't wait. Don't wait. Do that today. Because He's waiting. He's right there beside you. And He wants to wrap His arms around you. And He wants to say, my child, come with me. Come with me. Let's go home. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we are so thankful for the example of the Apostle Paul, who wherever he went, the gospel went. Whether it was into the synagogue or onto the streets or into meeting places or on the street corner or in the homes, wherever he went, the power of the gospel went with him. Oh Lord, we long so much to be vessels in which the power of God works and pours out into the lives of others around us. Lord, help us to connect with your Holy Spirit. Help us to connect with the power of the gospel in our lives. We look forward to that day when you will take us to heaven. Oh, what a beautiful day that will be. Oh, that will be a wonderful day. We pray this in your most precious and holy name. Amen.